Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen.
With me today, Louis D'Souza and Amy Blackford.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And indeed, we are ready to get the week off to a roaring start here as we continue Amy's series of Warrior Rules. And I'm still trying to get over that name. I mean, I know that it's a very meaningful name for you.
Yes.
I just didn't ever think of myself as a warrior. So this is new for me. That's all. But it's good. You know, the warrior rules so far have been great. So I have no complaints.
I would love to explain what that means. I should probably add it to the blog. It's basically the spiritual warrior, the war that's going on in our minds. And yes. And so it's basically the mind being compared to a battlefield, and you have got to not conquer it, but come to terms with it. And I've developed these insights around that concept.
So you're basically trying to bring your own mind to the peace table.
Yes.
Okay.
And it takes diligence, and it takes practice, and it takes strength to do.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Yes. So we're up to rule number three, I believe. Why don't you introduce rule number three to us?
Yeah. Rule number three is don't be fooled by shortcuts. Commit to the long haul. And basically this concept is it's being able to set clear intentions and apply actions to accomplish them. So a lot of times people will have an idea or a dream. And if they just follow the breadcrumbs that are being laid out for them without really questioning them, they're just following their intuition by setting that intention and just trusting where those breadcrumbs are leading, you will always get to that destination. So for me, you know, with publication with my books, I've been at this now for a really long time, and it's taken a tremendous amount of dedication. And I know that at some point that part will manifest, but that's not the actual point. So committing to the long haul means if you set a clear intention and you pay attention to the breadcrumbs and enjoy the journey along the way, you're going to reach that mile marker. It's going to happen. Some things happen very quickly and some things take a little bit longer. And, you know, you can look at it one of two ways. If things aren't happening very quickly, the way to get out of now doubting it or thinking that you're being led astray or getting into all that, you know, mind chatter, you could look at it as, you know, things are really gratifying sometimes when it's the contrast. So if I had a best-selling book without ever having to go through what I'm currently doing, I don't think I would have the same excited reaction. I would have nothing to compare it to.
I understand.
So there are some things that if they're taking a certain amount of time, instead of questioning them, just trust it's to maximize the excitement level, and you're going to be in the perfect spot to be in that moment.
And I noticed you guys are both in LOA Today Orange. I don't know how you coordinated that, but that was well done.
I made that comment too. I never wear this t-shirt. It's one of my favorites.
Well, you're letting the side down.
I know. Here I'm wearing blue. Like, oh, geez, am I out of step here or what?
No, orange and blue are complimentary.
Well, they are complimentary.
I think it'll be very, very, very scary if all of us were in orange.
Would it be?
Well, at least they know we were on the same
team. Synchronicity and their synchronicity.
Oh, I see. There are limits to how far you're willing to let your synchronicities go. I get it. All right.
Not necessarily. I would say synchronicity, putting you in the middle, so the blue is in the middle and the two orange on the outside would be a little better.
Well, there
we go. That's better.
Well, he just flipped that script real quick, didn't he?
Instant manifestation. There we go.
That's right.
But on the point of the warrior rule, I have to bring in one side question first before we dive into it, because it's the one that I think often comes up, and that is your warrior rule is very much around taking action. And if we go, for instance, Abraham Hicks is always stressing, don't take the action, get yourself into the right vibration first, to make that make it that your top piece. So let's address that piece first.
Okay, perfect. So when you set a clear intention, understanding and accepting that just by having that thought, it will become reality. First of all, you have to believe it. Mm. And then it is trusting. You don't have to figure that part out. That isn't your part to do. That's where the higher self, whatever people want to call it, the, you know, the intelligent field aligns all of that stuff for us. And so if we can just pay attention and follow what feels best, so that's always going to be leading us. But if we're coming from, I want this to happen in a certain amount of time, and you're not trusting that because you had that intention, well, only some people get that stuff and there's no way. It kind of really, it leads you into these detours and just loops that you go into. So like I said, some things will manifest very quickly. It's trusting that it's all going to happen. Everything Abraham will say, you wouldn't want it all coming at once. You know, you wouldn't want everything at once. Where's the fun in that? So as you set all of these intentions, things can start manifesting that you don't even remember that you had, and it just shows up one day. So,
that's always the challenge for me. That's the challenge for me, is trying to remember what was it I was asking for and how does it relate to what I'm experiencing right now.
Right.
And very often I seem to have LOA Alzheimer's. I mean, I just can't seem to get it. But sometimes I can remember it, and that's good, you know. But Louis, what she's talking about, so just... but Louis, what she's describing, to be honest, it sounds like your life story, because you basically have been on one long journey. You've been acquiring like all kinds of information over the years. You've been learning stuff, you know, picking up information from different gurus. It's almost like you've been living Warrior Rule Number 3.
Yeah, it's the latest Walt guru that's been the best.
So somewhere along the way, you learn how to suck up. Huh? Okay, well, that's good.
Oh, that was classic. I know how much you love gurus.
This is true. My favorite word.
Dentist. So I don't know. I mean, there's so many things to say about it. One thing I wanted to bring in quickly about that rule is, you know, for the long haul, Abraham Hicks says, you know, impatience is not necessarily wrong. Wanting it sooner is not a problem. It's not wrong. It's not necessarily wrong. So, the long haul is more about consistent discipline and building up
exactly.
The momentum.
Right.
And that's what you're really looking to do. So, you know, I've got a real high level of momentum going into my life for many years now. And, you know, I can literally ride on it. I don't have to do almost much effort, and things just start turning out very, very well. My wife and I were so excited. She came back and said, look, I found this, $3 million, cause we're looking to maybe move into the country, and there's this property in Devon overlooking the sea, £3 million Ooh. Property, Ooh. All furnished. You get 20,000 on top of it. And, you know, it's one of these competitions that you can win this £3 million house. And we were looking at this, and it's like, wow, this is so amazing. Drooling over this house. Five double bedrooms.
Right, right.
You know, all brand new modern build with glass everywhere.
Oh, yes.
There's infinity swimming pool, you know.
Nice.
And, you know, right on the coast in the UK. And that property must be, you know, really worth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, you know, both my wife and I have got this belief structure that it's possible for us to win it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's not like, there's no such thought as, oh, you know, that's like a dream, or come on, you're only kidding yourself.
Right.
We know because of LOA that this is a far exactly. greater possibility for us than most other people out there who are entering this competition.
Right.
And it really is worthwhile understanding that momentum. And you know how happy we both felt about the property. It just feels really good. So, you know, and this is the kind of idea I want to get across to people, because, you know, we don't go look at the very cheap, mundane little properties that much anymore. And we used to look at them because they're a little more practical financially, et cetera. But we really allow ourselves to go out there and dream and dream and dream. and just let the universe do its magic. You know,
exactly.
I don't have to do anything. And, you know, like this warrior rule, you know, you build up this level of momentum.
Yes.
Of expecting things, you know, and expectation is on the Abraham Hicks's emotional guidance scale. And, you know, you got, hope and then expectation. And when you start hitting that expectation one, it is really exciting, even though you may never get the property, you know, it's just exciting that you can believe, you know, that this is really not that impossible anymore.
No,
it's really
by expecting it,
lot,
you're open to
a heck of a lot easier.
Yes. Yeah. By expecting it, you're open to receiving it.
We've been looking at loads of £1 million properties, and now suddenly we're looking at twos, and now suddenly we're hitting the threes, and it's like, wow, this is so cool, you know?
Nice.
And, you know, I've got so many ideas of what I'd like to do. You know, I'd like to have maybe Jinshin courses there or invite people to come around to talk about soil, because, you know, I'm really into soil at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the planet and, you know, biodiversity and, you know, spiritual retreats, yoga retreats, et cetera. You know, just to me, it's just exciting to be able to have that kind of space and place to have people come around and enjoy and have fun. You know, if I had a £1 million house, it'd be an open door. I wouldn't be one of these people who are locked behind and, you know, nobody can come inside and it's got to stay perfect. You know, I just don't believe in that world at all. So it'll be like open house and come and enjoy. So, yeah,
that sounds like a beautiful vision.
Yeah,
well, especially you to get it.
I mean, when you got the view of the water, I mean, I'm there. You know, forget everything else. I'm getting on a plane.
It's interesting that you use the word self-discipline, because that's actually in the blog post. Mm-hmm. That is the commitment to just keeping your mind focused on what your intention is and expecting those results. And that's what lights the path up for you. And so things can come very rapidly, or some things can take longer. And either way, you're going to always get what you want, which you're intending to create. And, I think
you're going to get what you are vibrationally consistent with, I think is a lot to do with warrior rule number three, is that consistency element.
Right.
You're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what you're vibrationally consistent with.
Right. That's where the self-discipline comes in, and catching yourself. It's okay to have a range of emotion. I mean, that's part of the contrast, right? But it's also extremely important not to wallow. And now you're sending out conflicting vibration and frequency.
Yep.
And so
don't
you
get those trains going in two different directions. Yeah.
Right. And so the more you can sustain, like you're saying, Louis, the momentum, and that comes through self-discipline. It's being able to notice and catch when the negative thoughts come in or the emotions. Allow yourself to have it, but also shift as quickly as you possibly can.
Of course, the challenge is we're faced often with, like you said, with contrast, with life. And when you're in the middle of that contrast and the contrast is getting really contrasty, it can be hard to remember to stay in that high vibe space. It can be a little bit challenging at those times. So
absolutely.
I guess the next question becomes, how do you guys do it? What's your method?
That's a brilliant question. I mean, again, the warrior rule number three has said, and I've mentioned it before on the post, on the podcast, podcast. I'm trying to think, is it a vlog cast, a podcast? I'm not sure.
It's a cast.
We're just casting these days.
That's right.
So,
it's a StreamYard. What else? I mean, it's a StreamYard.
it's really the consistency over time. To me, the building blocks is really understand LOA.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Understand Abraham Hicks's teaching rather than LOA. It's a bigger picture than just law of attraction. So understand Abraham Hicks's teaching and then consistently apply it.
Yes.
And then out of that comes this real fun level of expectation, which starts manifesting things all over the place like mad. And it's just fun. It's absolutely fun to just want something and suddenly get it, you know?
Yes. I think the first building block for me was, instead of looking at it as attracting, you know, physical things outside of myself that I wanted, it was the pursuit of just wanting to feel good. and understanding that was the first building block for me, was having my first intention and desire was to feel good the majority of the time. And from there, understanding that through gaining momentum and switching from, you know, feeling negative emotion or, you know, negative thoughts running rampant, just the relief of understanding that I, through self-discipline, could just feel good mentally, physically throughout my day was a game changer. And then from there, understanding that through doing that, now that is the gateway to attracting things outside of myself that I really, really want. And
I really think it helps, Amy, to understand that feeling good means you're focusing mentally on what you want.
Exactly.
And understanding the correlation between those two, you know.
Yes.
Because that means a lot of the time you're focusing on nice thoughts.
Mm.
And
yes.
Therefore you get the nice emotion. And that is key, because thoughts are what are manifested by the LOA. So, you know, having a whole bunch of nice ones out there, you're going to get nice things coming to your life. You know, we
exactly.
know LOA works no matter what you're thinking. So now you're really wanting to convert it. And of course, cutting out things like news and
yes.
endless debate about COVID and, mm-hmm. and vaccines is probably a good way to go. But,
I've completely disengaged from that entire conversation.
I'm delving in it now because I'm really stable in it.
Yeah.
But I was wobbly at certain stages, and I can feel if even in the conversation when I start going wobbly. And what I mean by wobbly is I start wanting to push my opinion onto other people.
Right.
Sure.
I want other
yeah.
people to agree with me. Then
right.
I know I've lost the plot. Then I know I'm really out of it. So, and then I'm falling out of the balance and the harmony, and I'm not focusing only on what I want. So, yeah. You know, it's a lot of fun when you can sit back and let everybody throw any point of view at you, and you're just smiling. Yeah, yeah. That's what
right.
You want
and you're not arguing. Exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've been noticing a lot is when I'm going a little bit out of balance, I have a tendency to start becoming fragmented in my attention.
Me too.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like today was a perfect example. Now, Mondays around here, they're just crazy. There's no two ways about it. You're dealing with a whole bunch of stuff coming at you at once. And so it really does pay to stay in alignment when you're doing all of that. And I was especially noticing it today. There were times where I was trying to move at a nice quick pace, get things done, but mm-hmm. you know, make sure that I was not missing anything. And there were a few points where I could feel myself being pulled in two or three different directions at once.
Yeah.
And when that happened, that's when I was starting to get all out of whack.
The
that's
same exact thing happened to me today. That is
yeah.
absolutely crazy.
Well, that's the way it happens, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
when you start going out of alignment, it's like, you can't satisfy all the needs at the same time. And
right.
the answer is you're right. You can't satisfy all the
no.
needs at the same time. So you have to slow it down. And
right.
That's what I was consciously reminding myself to do today in the midst of the chaos, was to say, okay, turn off the chaos. We're going to do one at a time. You're first,
yep.
you're second. You got to wait your turn. You know, I mean,
yeah,
literally
exactly.
you have to do it like that. You know?
But not only that, you have to realize that the turn that you're giving anything may not be completed, and you need to accept that.
That's true.
I may not be able to complete that task or thought or focus today.
Exactly.
And you have to be able to break it off, let it go, and then come back to it at another stage and still be happy about the process, you know?
100%.
So, you know, that's the thing that I really struggled with for a long, long time, and I still do struggle with it, but is, you know, compartmentalizing and being happy that there's an incomplete compartment. That I'll be able to pick up again and continue, but
right.
I must be happy to leave it there and go into something else.
And then you
yes.
get a day like this where you have that compartmentalization that you just talked about, and you said, okay, I'm going to have to wait on that. And 5 minutes later, it shows up in the middle of doing the other thing that you were doing. Okay, hold on. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yep. And you have to be very happy to put the other one on hold.
There is only one of me, and I'm not going to give into your craziness. So we're just going to do this one at a time, and we're going to do it with a smile. We're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Just calm down over there. It's like being a traffic cop, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, hold it right there. You come through. Come down. I said, hold it right there. Come on. Beep, beep. Come on. Let's go. I mean,
yeah.
that's basically what you have to do with your emotions, because that's what you're doing. You're dealing with your emotions.
So, crazy. Walt, if you were only thinking about, even though you were changing subjects, if you're only thinking about the positive aspects of those subjects, you wouldn't be thrown around.
And that's exactly what happens, because I find myself dealing with stuff that it's I call it a curveball. I get thrown a curveball, like, oh geez, now what do I do with that? And I can just feel that little bit of that little surge of, oh, a little
anxiety and tension.
Anxiety and fear. Yeah. And then that's when everything starts to go out of whack. Yeah. You're exactly right. That's precisely when it happens. So it
and that's
really
what they talk about.
The spiritual pay to get into that high place and stay there. I mean, there's a strong premium on staying there in the midst of all that chaos. Sorry, what were you saying?
It's just that the religion guys would kind of use the word faith. Now, if you break up faith is really testing the law of attraction, knowing that it works and it'll work consistently, and you understand it, and there's not even faith anymore. You now know this is how it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I like to bring that word faith in again. It's like having faith that this is just going to work out, you know, even though there's hectic stuff going on. And when you can completely and totally relax, let's say, use the word vortex, in your vortex, that's when your day will flow, even though there's a million things around you, and you'll have that stable core, and you're sitting there and everything's going mad around you, but you'll still be this like shining light in the middle of it all.
And that's, I know, cool. Everybody in the religious circles do like to use that word faith. I've always found that the word doesn't quite work for me, so I use trust instead. Because to me, what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to trust. I'm trying to, you know, just have total trust. It's all going to work out just fine. And when I can get to that level, that's when I'm high vibe. When I'm not at that level, I know it. It's really clear to me I'm not at that level. And it's
well, before LOA, you didn't really know when you were in and out of it that with that level of clarity. But as you start working with LOA more and more and more, it becomes incredibly clear when you're out of whack.
Oh, well, 100%.
Wow.
I knew before that I was out of whack. I just didn't know why. I had no idea what was going on with it. Now I know why. Now I understand what's going on there.
The level of starkness and clarity becomes greater because of the contrast, because you're spending more time in the positive.
Really
becomes clear. So it's
100%.
That's true. I wasn't dealing with true contrast. I was dealing with just the negative side. That's not really contrast. That's just negative.
Not necessarily. Depression, rage, anger. You know, there are different vibrations.
I had myself today, same thing. Mondays are with the office and appointments outside of the house, and there was a lot of moving parts going on, and it all started out great this morning. I was like getting things done, and then all of a sudden it was just too much, and I had to finally cut it off because the tension, the anxiety rose inside me. I was like, oh no, and I shifted gears just perfectly. I gave myself like an hour and a half before the podcast to just take a breather. And, you know, like you were saying, Louie, I can get back to that a little bit later so that I could be in the space to enjoy this moment. But I let it kind of boil up for a minute until I was like, whoa, no, this isn't how I should be feeling right now. So another synchronicity there. It's really cool.
Something else that was happening today, I won't get into all the details of it because it does involve somebody else. So I'll try to keep it as generic as I possibly can. But Louise and I had reason to meet with somebody regarding the business.
Okay.
And it was somebody who we were considering becoming involved in the business in a way. I won't even go into details about that. And it was somebody who was very qualified to be involved. I mean, they were, you know, it would have been a smart thing from a qualifications and credentials viewpoint to have the conversation and consider whether or not it was going to go somewhere. But something happened very shortly, very quickly into the process. I got one of those, this doesn't feel right feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part was actually sitting through the whole conversation, knowing that I didn't feel right about it. No, being patient and smiling and being pleasant and all that kind of stuff, which I did. I pulled it off just fine. But afterward, it became essential to get back into the higher vibe plane because I had been in that lower vibe plane for an uncomfortably long period of time. And like you were mentioning earlier, Louis, it's something that before we understood law of attraction, we didn't necessarily get that contrast. We didn't really understand what to do with it. We didn't really understand how to handle it. Once you know how to handle it, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't wait to get past that feeling that it was just so uncomfortable. And if people are wondering what the uncomfortable feeling was, it was just, this wasn't going to work. This particular connection just wasn't going to work out for us and could conceivably have some sort of unforeseen, undesirable consequence along with it. And I couldn't even tell you what that was, to be honest. All I knew was that it just didn't feel right. But my point here is I wanted to get out of it. I wanted to get out of that feeling fast. And probably the best part was ending the meeting. That really, that took a huge step toward ending the meeting.
Relief.
Yeah, there was a big relief there. And then I talked about it with Louise. That I talked about it with Louise. And interestingly enough, she hadn't gotten the same vibe. She had gotten a good vibe, but I was the only one who had not gotten the good vibe. And we both agreed if the feeling was strong enough, we were just going to let the whole situation go away. And then once we had that conversation, then for whatever reason, I was then able to get into the high place. I was then able to release. I was then able to say, okay, that's in the past. We're done with it. I can relax, sigh of relief, and everything felt better. But I guess I had to go through a process, didn't I? I had to kind of walk through the steps, and it wasn't instantaneous like I would have liked to. I mean, I would have liked it to all kind of come to a stop 2 minutes into the interview, but that wasn't going to happen. So I had to work through it. And that happens sometimes. That's part of what we go through in life.
Yeah. It's true. One of the things I like doing with people who I'm having conversations with who, it doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
One of two things is happening. One is I'm not really standing up for what I'm really believing. And so one of the sentences I often use now is, do you really believe that? Yeah. Are you sure? And as soon as you get them to stop and think about their own belief structure, then that can change the entire dynamic of it. So I'm not asserting where I'm coming from. I'm just sitting there being barraged by negativity and I'm not doing anything about it. So, to me, it's important to also, when I'm looking at these individuals, is to see anything positive about them. Mm. Might not like what they're saying, might not like this, but you like their hair, you like their coat, you like the jacket, you like some aspect of them or the nice smile they had at one stage or, something. And you just focus on that. And then after that, you just find that because you're focusing on them in a more positive way, positive stuff comes out of them and comes back to you. And it really, really works. It's incredible.
That's a good point. It's interesting that you say that too, because as I reflect back, I think I was at least on a somewhat semi-conscious level trying to do exactly that. The problem was I was failing. I wasn't finding anything that I would like. And it wasn't this person was a bad person. They weren't. I mean, it was nothing like that. It was just, I can't put my finger on it. All I can say is for whatever reason, it just didn't rub me the right way. And that's the way it was. So finding that thing to focus on, I wish I had done it a little bit more consciously. Maybe I would have found something that could have sustain me better through the whole conversation, but it's a learning point for the future. Let's treat it that way.
Exactly.
So what's the other,
you learn these little tools along the way and eventually you get to implement them practically in real life.
Yes, right.
And then, once you're doing that or more and more often, it just becomes easier and easier. Of course, Holloway does that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, being able to get an objective perspective where you kind of pan out of the scene, you can look at what is working in your life and you can see what isn't, when you kind of remove that emotional context. And that's another part of this warrior role is being able to kind of have that bird's eye view and, mm-hmm. Pan out of the scene. And so we can more clearly see the bigger picture, the path that we're on, what's working, what isn't working, and then make refinements to the way that we're thinking and feeling, because that's really all it comes down to.
That's a great point. And that I wish, actually, I will do this next time, I'm sure. I wish I had actually given more conscious attention to the idea of pulling back, of mentally pulling back to a great mental distance, so to speak, and seeing this person from that distance. Because
right.
nobody looks terrible from afar. The only time that people really look terrible to us for whatever reason is when we're up close and dealing with them, you know, mano a mano. But when you're looking at that person from far away, you can all, it's a lot easier to find something that's good or desirable or enjoyable or appreciable or whatever. And so that's, you're right. That's what I'm going to focus on next time. How can I pull my attention back to like the 10,000 foot view?
Isabel was struggling with, sorry, Amy, Isabel was struggling with my daughter. My daughter was struggling with some person, and I said to her, what's this going to matter to you in 80 years when you're 80 years old? kind of puts it in perspective. It really
it does.
Rips you out of the immediacy of it all and puts a bird's eye view. Like Amy and I would leave our bodies and have a look at it from a big picture.
Zooming on out.
So you guys actually do astral projection in the middle of a meeting. I'm impressed. That's not easy. Yeah,
I mean, we're advanced souls, man. We can do it.
My gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Good to have a skill.
It's worthwhile taking these situations into the dream world, you know. Think about them before you go to sleep and see what answers come out.
Yeah, I actually experiment with that as well. It's really fun. And I can't believe I just quit having these experiences. And then when I started on the podcast and we started talking about them again, all of a sudden I've just been having them more and more. And it's just been really enjoyable.
Deliberately or just because it can't
it just comes very natural.
It'll be LOA that does it. You know, yeah. When you put your focus on something, it'll amplify it.
I can literally feel when it's happening and I get a sensation instead of being afraid because I've done it so much. I get so excited. I just like leap out and I'm like, oh, this is happening right now. and because I get so excited about it, it always is some really incredible experience. Whereas when I first started experimenting with it, there was a fear factor there, because again, it's a very strange sensation, at first, and to acclimate to it. And you have to be even more conscious of your thoughts, because when you astral project, there is no, things manifest immediately. And so if you start having fear and darker thoughts, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have some not so pleasant experiences. And so I had to take a little bit of a break until I could master that part. And now it just happens very frequently and I get excited about it and have great expectations around it because I'm not just afraid of it anymore.
I'm just wondering, Louie, because I'm thinking about it. If you're actually able to do this during a meeting with somebody, I'm thinking about it from the point of view of the person you're having the meeting with. And I can almost imagine that person saying, Louis, I don't feel like I have your full attention right now.
When the masters say that they are able to be at some of them far more than two places at once and speak to you all at the same time with no problem. Now that is interesting.
It's
like your body, you know, pumps your heart, and your kidney deals with the urine, deals with the water, and your eyes see and your ears hear and blah, 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 all at the same time. So, right. You know, it's, you're able to split your consciousness up in three different areas, or more. And, it's not impossible for some, so they say. So, you know, to me, that is what you call an advanced individual.
So all my studies
and all the different books and everything I've read, you know, that is one of the basic characteristics of these really advanced dudes.
But I have to admit, there's a piece of me that wonders, are they truly in computer terms, are they truly parallel processing or are they splitting time up? Time sharing on a single processor, if you understand what I mean. Is it truly separate focus at the same instant?
Walt, look at it from this point of view. Source has split itself up into Walt, Louis, and Amy.
That's true.
And we're all fully conscious at the same time, are we not?
Yeah. We certainly are.
Well, some of the time. so you see the kind of perspective I'm trying to put on
the spin. I see the perspective, yeah. I'm just trying to imagine the gurus themselves.
I wouldn't call what I do as astral projection, but when I channel, and I have a specific, it's another parallel version of myself, and she's living, I think I've told you guys this before, her name's Buella, and she lives in a completely, basically it's a version of Earth that the Industrial Revolution ever happened, and it's very tribal still, the native originators of the planet. And this happens.
Kind of the cave based stuff.
They're very advanced, and basically when it just came out of nowhere where I had, and it happened on New Year's Eve, and I was by myself, and I was thinking to myself about something that was going on in my life, and all of a sudden everything around me, it was like time froze. It's really hard to explain, but basically it became a still picture, and all of a sudden I started speaking. She has a different vocalization. It did not sound like me. And she was saying things to me that I would never say to myself, a very warrior mentality where it was, you know, you're asking these questions. I'm going to say some things that you need to face that you might not want to hear right now. And so
thank
after
you,
I started,
I just said, thank you, Jeffrey. He said, bless you. he must be watching, not only listening.
So,
because I muted myself.
The more that I have channeled her, it is exactly what you're talking about, where I am. I always start my own meditation, and then all of a sudden she will just come in and start talking, and I've recorded it because I can't remember afterwards. Because it's a split thing, but it happens very organically. And I don't have a visual, but I can feel through the vibration, through the vocalization, and what she's saying to me, this mental picture of what this space is and what she's even talking about. So it's a really unique, astral projection I see is becoming out of my body. This is where I'm in my body here and also occupying both at the same time.
It's a bit of an Abraham Hicks thing because, you know, when Esther channels, she doesn't remember anything. She has to listen to the recordings afterwards.
Yeah, David Strick will have the same experience whenever he's channeling a stream of David. Occasionally he can pick up bits and pieces of the conversation if it was particularly intense or a particularly interesting question, but most of the time it's just a blur for him.
I learned to have my phone near me because I could feel when the transition would start to happen, I can feel my vibration raise and I get a buzz in my body. Mm. And I learned to grab my cell phone and hit record on my video, on my little recorder on the phone so that I could go back and listen to it. Because I know I've told you guys this before, but I felt like I would get the keys to unlocking some really big questions that I had. And I would vocalize it and understand it as I was saying it because I was channeling from that perspective. It was gone after. So I started learning. And now I've actually gotten to the point where the two consciousnesses are so linked. The more I've done it, I don't have to record. Sometimes I do, but most of the time I can recall it.
So you can remember it. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I pushed myself to basically, as soon as the channel session was over, to remember the key concepts. I'm not trying to remember every single word, but the key concept and then write it down.
Mm.
So I wasn't restricting myself to the recording process, but for whatever reason, doing it that way seemed to integrate it a little bit deeper. So it's nice because sometimes that isn't available.
I'm impressed that you can remember, well, not remember, but you actually know this alternate consciousness's name, and you know what her mentality is you identify her as a full being, and you have a sense of her as a full being. It's very highly developed is what I'm saying. I'm impressed that it is that highly developed.
Thank you. What's even to take this even a little bit deeper, I had written a, it was a fantasy, urban fantasy written, they're called the Kayakon, and they're the originators of Terra. They're Tellurians is what I called them. And I wrote this way before any of this started. And so when this started happening, I didn't know what was going on, but I could sense there was a similarity in the vibration. So now I'm wondering, this story was coming through me and it felt so real and I didn't understand. I was downloading all this information. Did I, you know, connect with this aspect of myself and that's where it came from? But it's just another interesting and fun way of looking at it. Cause I mean, when I write, I'm channeling and, mm-hmm. and that's just, it came through like 10 years before I actually started channeling.
Well, it's also,
you're saying you're cheating there. Yeah.
I'm copying
somebody else's work. Plagiarism. Yeah. Cool, man.
There's a line from the television series, The West Wing, that was beautiful. It was written, it was a line that came from one of the speech writers. And his line was that good writers borrow from other writers, great writers steal outright from other writers. So you're in a good league there, Amy. Don't change
what?
A thing.
I'm confused.
Think William Shakespeare. Everybody in the Shakespearean era was stealing each other ideas because they were using to write their own versions of plays of the classic tales.
Got it.
It was very, very common. And nobody thought anything bad about it. They just figured that's just part of how humans develop stories.
Right.
You know.
So you're saying I was downloading from my other identity into this story.
And it's probably fair to say they're downloading from you.
I mean,
seriously, why not? Why does it have to be one direction, right?
It doesn't have to be one direction. I have always wondered, is it the same thing with the book I've written? I wrote it 5 years ago about a pandemic that was literally the identical one that I've had to change it in my story because it was too much. It was just... So right, did I create it through my mind and now I'm experiencing that reality? Or did I, you know, I was already in that reality and I tapped into it and I wrote about it?
This may also be an explanation for people who feel like they're losing their minds. Because if you find that you had a thought and you lose it and it keeps happening over and over again, maybe somebody else is downloading it and that's why you don't have access to it anymore.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So there's one kind of idea which I wanted to put out to people, because a lot of people who start studying LOA start experiencing their vibrational interpreting machine tuning into different stations. And I really wanted to point out that it's not uncommon to have kind of experiences like this when you start going on the spiritual journey. And it is almost a natural development on some level. And it's not something to be too concerned about, as long as it's not hurting somebody else and yourself.
That's a good thing to avoid. You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really important to understand that. I mean, Walt, you had an experience not so long ago that was like, kind of weird and a bit different. And he was like, whoa, you know, this is a bit surprising. And, you know, I just want people to feel more and more comfortable with having these different kind of experiences. And, you know, you've also got to say, is there any value in it?
Mm-hmm.
And also different people will experience it completely differently. Amy and I have some out of body experiences. Amy's channeling as well. Then there could be just that person who's a great manifester. They're running companies and they're creating people and groups and getting things together.
Right.
So that is not in the other worlds anymore. This is like really in this world. So
mm-hmm.
you can understand. I want everybody to understand and to feel that there's so many millions of different ways. It might come out for an artist in a painting or a sculpture.
100%.
And, you know, might come out in music for somebody. So, you know, there's this numerous different levels and ways that people can come out and express and explore it.
Yes.
For me, it's very largely work with energy. You know, I'm finding more and more techniques and changing things in my body and everything. And it's fascinating me. And I come on the show like, well, how do I tell anybody any of this stuff? I have no idea. You have to start a whole common ground. You have to base things on. You have to build foundation. And then you can start maybe speaking about some of it. But, I mean, if I started waffling on about all the stuff that I did last night in my energy world, you would probably just get bored, never mind anything else. But somebody else is also excited about it. You know, it's really amazing how you can change things. And, you know,
I love the point that you made, Bill, about how it can be very disorienting, because I think it's important to know that is not unique to you. Everybody goes through that kind of thing.
Yes.
And it's nice when we know what's behind it, what's causing it, what's leading up to it, or what it's leading to, what's the consequences that are going to come out of it. But quite honestly, a lot of the times we don't. I mean, I'll speak for myself. A lot of the times when something happens that's kind of out of the blue, not only is it out of the blue, I don't know what it's leading to. And that in itself can be disorienting. So you have to kind of learn to let it be whatever it's coming from and whatever it's going to, and not worry too much about making sense out of it, giving it time to turn into whatever it is.
100%.
You can drive yourself crazy if you're trying to figure it all out.
So one of the things that I use, Walt, which is very useful, is I say, is it good? Is it kind? And is it necessary?
Oh, that's good. I like that.
And if it fits in those three characters, I take it on board and run with it. If it doesn't, I drop it, move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of like my little yardstick, which I use to batter things around and just keep myself clearly focused on where I'm going.
So I'm going to make a good, what was it, good something and necessary?
Good, kind, and necessary.
Good, kind, and necessary. That's right, yeah.
Or another version is true, kind, and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But true is very relative.
Yeah.
Kind is relative. Necessary is relative. But you get the gist. You get the gist.
Yeah. Good is relative, too, but there's usually less confusion about that one. So we'll go with good.
But if you put that in place and it still feels, you know, basically use your emotional guidance. Does it feel good? And then you run with it. If it doesn't, you run a mile.
Exactly.
So I wanted to put this to you and see what everybody makes of it.
Okay.
The difference between let's start off with relationships. Relationships are between you and somebody else, yeah?
Okay.
We all agree with that, yeah?
Sure.
That's fairly simple. And then you'll say love is between you and your higher self.
Okay, fair enough.
Does that all ring true for you guys? So you say, I love you, my darling. But it's really not loving somebody else. It's using them as an excuse to create that bond between you and you, isn't it?
I don't consider them to be mutually exclusive, but I understand that it's useful to make the differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't consider
something somebody brought up recently, and I just wanted to discuss it. I thought it'd be an interesting idea of looking at that aspect. Love is rarely between you and your higher self, and relationships are between you and somebody else. I thought it made a lot of sense to me, but I just thought it'd be good to get your opinions on it.
I think there's value to that perspective. I think that the fly in the ointment is the fact that we are all energetically connected. So it becomes very easy to blur the boundary between you and me.
It's a fantastic point. So let's say, just to clarify it, instead of saying you and your higher self, you and higher selves.
Okay.
So if you're looking at the higher self of the other person,
right,
then that could be love. But love is not the more physical, labeled individual Joe Bloggs, you know.
Basically, the way I look at it is each in a relationship, each person has to have that love with that connection, and then it can be a shared experience. So it's not that the other person is generating, you're not looking to them to generate that experience within you, that emotion. Mm-hmm. You already have that emotion. and then they're a reflection of that if they're in that same space. And so loving someone, you cannot love someone unless you truly are loving yourself first. There's just no way to go about that. And so it's really about two people who are really in touch with that aspect. And then it's a reflection of that emotion.
Yeah, the in-touch part. I think the in-touch part really is the bridge. And the reason I say that is, in my way of thinking about it, I equate source energy and love. I consider them to be identical. Two ways of expressing the exact same thing. So starting from that point of view, starting from that frame of reference, then if I ask myself, okay, well, what does it mean when I am expressing love to somebody else or to my higher self or however else you want to do it? The answer is always yes, because they're source energy and I'm source energy. Now, when we go through the higher selves, what we're really saying is we're going through the higher vibe space. We're on the superhighway. Whereas when we're doing it through the physicality, we're doing it, you know, on the local route. It's slower.
Right.
It's a slower vibration. It's a slower experience. Nothing wrong with it. It's actually great. It can be very, very good. It's just a different, it's a different roadway. It's not the highway system. So,
well, and I think that kind of love
it's just, they're just different levels of it, so to speak.
I love your body, Walt. It's just so cool.
I think that kind of love that most people talk about always has conditions to it. So that isn't real love. And so when you're coming from that,
I'll only love you, Amy, if you cook my dinner. Otherwise, otherwise I withhold my love. I agree that conditional aspect is lethal.
But I also look for the dinner. I like both. You know, I don't, they're not mutually exclusive as far as I'm concerned. Always take the dinner. That's the rule.
100%.
I love the food, man.
Me too.
Must be McDonald's.
Oh, God, no. Well, there's a way to end a relationship.
That's where I draw the line, Louie. I draw the line, okay?
Okay, tacos. Yeah. Tacos. What do you call it in America? I don't remember.
Tacos. Yes. It's an interesting thing, though, how when you have different perspectives, we think about things within our perspectives, and they're all valid. I mean, every single one of the ones we've expressed here are perfectly valid. On the surface, they can seem like they conflict. They really don't conflict. They're just different ways of looking at the same thing. You know, if you're looking at a building and you're looking at it from east, First Street, and then you look at it from West First Street, it's the same building. You're just seeing two different perspectives. You're not going to see the same part of the building. That's just the way it's going to be.
I don't know. I think if we all had the same exact perspective, there'd be no point to be here individuals.
We would live in a one point universe.
Yeah.
It would be the only point. There would be nothing else. It would just be, here's the one point. That's it. That's it. Right. Okay. Bye. Hope you enjoyed it.
I love this book. I don't know if you guys have ever read it. It's called Mr. God, This Is Anna. And it's a nine-year-old girl in the East End of London who gets beaten around by her parents, runs away, and gets found by this guy who takes her in. And they have this incredible love relationship between the two of them. But she's an incredibly advanced soul, you know, and she talks about not point of view. She talks about points to view.
Mm. Oh, nice.
And it's really interesting because she could see so many points to view things from. And she took mirrors and looked at all the different dimensions and took a whole lot of them and had the image change in so many directions. And, you know, she was talking to priests about the name Lucifer, but Lucifer means light, doesn't it? you know, it was really interesting. She was such an advanced kid. And as far as I understand, this was a true, real experience.
Really?
Oh, the guy didn't put his surname down, I think, because of maybe the old guy with the young girl and the way he told the story and things that happened. I mean, she died a year later or something. Fell out of a tree or something. But it's just a really, really incredible story.
Wow.
Give me the title again. I want to look for that one.
Mr. God, This Is Anna. Very beautiful. God. Absolutely heartwarming and in advanced in a way that a 9-year-old should never be.
Wow.
Well, except that the 4-year-old is already that advanced, and the 1-year-old is even more advanced. So
exactly, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. But you know, when I'm talking about advanced, I'm talking about an intellectual ability to see the idea that there are points to view rather than points of view. Mm. You know, it's a real perspective shift once you start looking at it. And she came up with so many ideas and principles and concepts. She understood contrast very well.
Mm.
Talking about night and day, you know, if there was no night, there was no day. And she could really see it. And it comes across in this book with such clarity.
Mm.
And, you know, she was using Lucifer in the same way, because Lucifer is the word for Satan, but it means light. Yeah. She was seeing the contrast and in everything. It was just so clear to her. but yeah, no, really beautiful book, you know.
Absolutely. Louis, would you mind putting that in the chat, the title?
Sure. You're talking about
how to do it.
you're talking about Facebook chat group?
Or it's in the our private chat or the comments in
the in there. Okay, chat. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Just easy. Mr. God, this is Anna.
Yeah, very straightforward. So anyway,
Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N.
Oh, Flynn. Okay, so that's the author. All right, I'll make a note of that too.
Yay, thank you.
So anyway, in the last couple of minutes, we have Oscar. I want to make sure that get a couple of promotional messages in here. First and foremost, thank you for those of you who are subscribed to the podcast. If you're not subscribed, what are you waiting for? And once you are subscribed, make sure that you're sharing with others, because it's, first of all, it's nice to share. And second of all, that's how we grow the audience. That's how people, that's probably how you found it. Somebody shared with you. So, you know, this is kind of along the idea of push it forward or pay it forward, because then you are contributing to the next person who is going to benefit, who's going to pass it along to the next person, and so on and so on and so forth. So please subscribe and share, and you know, do check us out also you know, on the video if you like to watch us as we muck around with our blue and orange shirts. You know, feel free to watch us on YouTube. We're also on Facebook.
Watch us sneezing there. Hi, you Judy, bless, by the way.
Yes, hello, Judy. You can bless us like Jeffrey did. You know, that's always good, too. But make sure you do keep tuning in, keep playing the episodes, and do some binge listening. It's important to get your daily dose of happy, but it's also great to get it, you know, like 5 times in a row. So just saying, do it. So, okay, just a little bit of a teaser for next week. Warrior Rule, I presume, number 4 is coming along. Can you give us a quick idea, like in 30 seconds, what that's going to be about, Amy?
Absolutely. Give me 1 second.
She has to look them up because there are over 80 of them. So, you know, it's
kind of
track of them all. So we give her leeway on that one.
Mama blog. Do, 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 do,
do. Where's the Jeopardy theme when we need one?
Okay, here we go. Okay. Warrior rule number 4. Honor your enemies. They are your greatest teachers is the theme.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one, because that's a challenging one. That's a tough one.
Yes. I think I will post a link. I would invite anybody listening. There's a challenge for today's Warrior Rule so that you can apply it.
Okay.
I like to do that so you can experiment with some of these concepts and apply it to your own life. And kind of, you know, through experimentation is where you really learn, because you can hear this stuff, but if you don't experiment with it and apply it, it's just more information. We learn through actually applying and seeing it working in our lives. So I'd love to also hear feedback from anybody that's tuning in, email in, you know, to update us on how any of these are working for them.
Well, Judy loves our smile, so we'll have to give it a special one.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much, Amy, for bringing up the Warrior Rules. Thank you, Louis.
Absolutely.
For all your practice. Thank you to our live streamers, and we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.